This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God. Oh.
He's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what a weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Steinmetz along with Evan Giddings today on a Monday. Happy New Year to everybody. It's the last time I'll say it. 49ers get beat by the Seattle Seahawks 13-3 on Saturday. They now play the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card game at Philadelphia. And it was a hell of a performance by the Seattle Seahawks. That's where I'm going to start.
Well, so much so you're looking refreshed. Happy New Year!
Oh, thank you,
New Year, new Steiny.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Why not? Well, are you feeling any different about the San Francisco 49ers than you did in 2025?
See, that's a really good question.
Because that was. I know the game was 13-3, and it was, you know, low scoring, but that I thought that was a really interesting game.
I did too.
And having a chance to be there from start to finish, seeing everything that went on and off the field, there's some stuff that went down in the locker room after the game, hearing what the 49ers had to say post game. I mean, just all of it. That was, I know that it was anticlimactic because the Niners obviously got kind of handled, but that was a game that had the build. And while it didn't finish the way, say, Pittsburgh-Baltimore did last night, I thought that was a really interesting game.
Yeah, and I thought that everything seemed to catch up to the Niners in 1 week. I felt like obviously the injuries hurt them. Obviously they've had trouble running the football this year. That came to bite them. They've had trouble stopping the run. That hurt them a little bit. They're missing Warner, they're missing Bosa, they're missing Pearsall, they're missing Trent Williams. And I'll tell you what, I was really impressed. See, Kyle Shanahan's offense has been clicking. I mean, it has been clicking, and they were just shut down. And I know it was only 13-3, but to me that was a game that could have been 27-3.
Dude, they got nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
I know. But it was also the kind of game that the Niners have won this year. They got two field goal misses. They got a great hold at the goal line on the first series. You know, McCaffrey catches that ball the first 16 games, if you know what I mean. And
Ball on the turf, and
the ball was tipped. He couldn't come up with it, and the guy made a great play, and that pretty much ended the game. But I do think that, you know, you look at that game, 49ers beat him at the beginning of the year, and you just kind of see that right now Seattle's a better team.
They're the best team in football. Point blank. Like, Seattle is the best team in football. There's a reason they're the betting favorites by far to hoist the Lombardi Trophy this year, which, by the way, is going to be at Levi's Stadium. That game told you where the Niners are at in comparison to the best team in the league. And it sucks that it's Seattle because they're your rivals. And you got Sam Darnold at the helm, and you got a dominant defense, and you got a coach that took Shanahan's cookies. But, like, that's what happens when you play the best. And the Niners have beat them one time this year, but it, to me, watching that game, Steiny, it has been a long, long time since week one.
No doubt about it. You know, Christian McCaffrey has been brilliant this season, and it felt like Seattle, after 16 games, finally said, you know, we got to try to take this guy out of their offense and see what they have. And I don't know whether it was their game plan or they were the first team that was able to pull it off, but McCaffrey looked very ordinary. Here's the other thing that I really think was a huge factor, and that is the 49ers Saturday paid the price for not having receivers. You know, I don't want to make this show about Brandon Ayuk, but you go into that game without Ayuk, you go into that game without Pearsall, and you see how limited you are at wideout with just Juwan Jennings. And then they didn't have enough weapons. They couldn't generate enough plays on offense. And that's why the time of possession was 38-22. I always think it's interesting. Oh, McCaffrey, they couldn't get McCaffrey gone. No, McCaffrey, only 10 touches. They didn't have the ball. They couldn't get the ball away from Seattle. So, you know, it was a game where 13-3, you get beat by 10. But, man, it just depends on how you look at it. You can either say the 49ers got manhandled, or you can say a couple plays here and there. And you wouldn't be wrong either way, Evan, but I'm leaning toward the former.
Well, I think what happened in this game is what happened in week one, just in reverse. Like, the Niners, they lost the war of attrition. They were outclassed. They got out-muscled. They got out-physicaled. You could say they got out-schemed. They just got flat-out outplayed by a team that was wholly healthy. And maybe the difference is between week one and week 18, you had Bosa in week one. You had Warner in week one. You had Trent Williams in week one. You had Ricky Pearsall in week one. Remember, Pearsall had that big 40-yard play down the sideline in that final drive. Like, they had their dudes in week one and were able to go into Seattle and win a football game, yes, that was 17-13. But if you look at how many yards they gained, how much they stayed on the field, the Niners owned Seattle in Seattle in week one, in my opinion. This was a game where Seattle just owned them. They could not get off the field, the Niners. They couldn't get them off the field. And on offense, they couldn't stay on the field. They could not run the ball. Brock Purdy had no time. And it just feels like the Niners, all the things that a lot of people have been saying about this team that have been wrong for the last 6 weeks, as the Niners have looked like an amped-up unit with Brock Purdy at the helm, the chickens kind of came home to roost.
Yeah, I almost feel like there is no I told you so, because if for all the people that were that were saying, like me, the schedule I thought was very favorable to them, I thought they got breaks. Well, then you were right, you know, or you were right. You were right on Saturday. There's no doubt about it. The 49ers, if you look at their schedule, they finished 12-5. Who were their losses to? Rams, playoffs, Seattle, playoffs, Jacksonville, playoffs, Houston, playoffs. And then Tampa Bay almost went. They didn't. It's Carolina. The Niners beat the Carolina Panthers. But had Tampa Bay gone, like, you would have seen that they struggled against really good teams this year when they played them. That doesn't mean they didn't beat a couple good teams. But I just thought there was a talent gap. And I rarely, to me, it's hard in the pros to see like a gap in talent. You know what I mean? When you're watching an NFL game, one team might be better. They look like they're executing better. But I just felt like Seattle was just a step ahead. They made tackles right after catches. Meanwhile, they're running the ball as much as they want. And anytime they needed a play through the air, they got it. It was a real comprehensive win for Seattle. It just was.
No, and I think defensively, look, they were buttoned up. You know, Brock Purdy didn't do much in the football game. Christian McCaffrey didn't do much in the outside of really one drive. Like, they had one drive that they put together where they looked like the Niners of the last 6 weeks. And I remember thinking with, you know, there's 14 minutes left to go in the ball game. You're only down 10. You still have a shot at this. And I'm thinking, where's the offense that scored 36 points a game the last 6 weeks? That offense showed up on one drive. And unfortunately, your offensive player of the year coughed up the football. Like, that's the thing that hurt about that game, Steiny, is watching Seattle left them every opportunity to kick the door in.
Yep.
I mean, they missed two field goals. Jason Myers, by the way, he had a horrible game.
Yes, he did.
He missed two field goals. He also kicked the ball out of bounds right before the half, which was the only drive that the Niners got points on. Like, they left the door open for the Niners. And while they should have potentially beat them 27-20-3, I don't know, they also gave the Niners a chance. And I feel like the Niners, in most games this season, one of the reasons why they're taking care of business and are a 12-win football team is because when other teams have made mistakes, they've capitalized on them. But they did not capitalize on Saturday night at Levi's Stadium, and that's why they're not the one seed.
You know, you brought it up. They gave Seattle a lot of chances, and that's why, to me, even though it was 13-3, it was more impressive than that, because Seattle did about 3 to 5 things in that game that during the course of the regular season would have given the Niners the momentum in the game. You know, the 49ers stop them at the goal line on the first series, and they come away with zero, and that's the kind of game that the 49ers have played this year. They've gotten a lot of big stops like that early in games, late in games, but they never could seize on the opportunity because Seattle was just better in every phase of the game. I want to say after they had the stop, they might have gone 3 and out on their first possession. If not, they didn't move the ball. And then they had a punt and gave the ball right back to Seattle in good field position. But they had chances to take the momentum of the game, and Seattle just never allowed it. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get into the game. There's so much to talk about. So much happened in that game. And the 49ers just, they got beat. I don't think they lost that game. I think they got beat by a better team. And now they got to go to Philly, take their chances, and see what happens. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology, Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Third down and two, Charbonnet. He's got it and plenty more. Touchdown, Seattle. He got the first down, then was one-on-one with Malik Mustafa, who couldn't bring him down, and it's a 27-yard touchdown run on third and two.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steiny and Evan Giddings in today, and we're talking about the 49ers. They get beat 13-3 on Saturday, and now they head to Philly as the sixth seed in the NFC. That game is going to be at 1:30 Sunday, 4:30 Philly time.
Yeah, 4:30 Eastern. There was a lot on the line for that game. I know that the Niners still obviously get a chance to play a do-or-die game, but like the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC. The Rams are certainly up there. I think the Niners are still up there. And I'm looking at the Carolina Panthers, who have a minus infinity scoring differential, and I'm just like, Sonny, why do the Panthers get to host a home game and the Niners got to travel to Philly?
Yeah, I have that written down too. I mean, listen, I try to look at things objectively, but the discrepancy between the paths of the winner and loser of that game is the most drastic, probably, of any sport. That game is the most, I think it's got to be the most meaningful regular season game you can have in any sport, because it's that great of a difference between winning and losing. I mean, you're talking about getting to play two games at home as opposed to three on the road, and we all know what home means in football. It's just, and I don't know what the solution is, but boy, it's hard not to be deflated and feel down after that game, knowing what was at stake, which was never having to leave the Bay Area again.
I mean, obviously you're not the Ravens. You're not sitting on your couch because your kicker can't make a kick. But in regards to contention, I totally understand why fans feel that way, because like whoever got in between Carolina, Tampa, Pittsburgh, you're a one and done. Like, you're just sitting there waiting to get your ass kicked by whoever is going to come to your house. But the Niners, if they're hosting throughout the playoffs, you got action. And so I feel like walking out of that stadium, the reason why people were so down, and in addition to the loss and the way that it happened, and we're going to talk about why, is just because there was a legitimate path to them hosting a Super Bowl. And now that it feels drastically different. I mean, I'm going to be honest. It was like a 180 kick to the you-know-where, where I don't know. I'm sitting here on Monday thinking, God, they got to go to Philly, and then they're going to have to go somewhere else, and then they're not going to have to go probably back to Seattle, because the Seahawks looks like they're going to be hosted.
Yeah, and that's the other reason why I got to give Seattle most of the credit, and that's when they go into halftime and it's 10-3 49ers, I spent 15 minutes just shaking my head thinking, I cannot believe, and everybody knew it, everybody thought it, I can't believe they're in this game. I cannot believe this is a one-score game. And I'm looking at the play-by-play of the first half. Again, they were so lucky to be at 10-3. Okay, but you are. You're at 10-3. So it's still right there for you. And you didn't score a point in the second half. And obviously, to me, obviously, and not only to me, to most people, the play of the game with 3:50 left in the third quarter, Seattle's still up 10-3, but you've held them once, and you had started to move the ball a little bit compared with the first half. And they got third and 17, and they run the ball, and Walker gets 19 yards, and that's the play where they panned to John Lynch in the press box, and he was absolutely livid. And you just knew. You knew at that moment that that was probably the biggest play of the game. And then sure enough, they go down and get three, and now it's 13-3. It's a two-score game, and everything changes. I don't know that I've seen a team kind of give up on the first down and get it anyway, but I did realize that they'd done it the week before. But nevertheless.
But that play, the third and 17 conversion was symbolic of the entire game, which is you do all the work necessary to put yourself in a position of success. And you can't make the final play. Like, you can't make the play to get them off the field. It wasn't just that he got 19 yards, Kenneth Walker did. He was largely untouched that play. Just simple toss right, couple of offensive linemen kick out, start clearing a path, and he weaves his way for, it was almost like an easy play. That was the frustrating part, too. It wasn't like Sam Darnold dropped back and throws it into triple coverage, or you know, there's a BS penalty that comes flying in at the end. No, they told you what they were going to do. They didn't expect to get a first down, and they got it anyways. The Niners got 99 yards of that play, but they couldn't get the final yard. And that's what it felt like the entire night because, to your point, they were not out of that game, I think, really, until McCaffrey coughed it up at the goal line.
Yeah, and man, it was third and 17. Seattle was at its own 25. You know, you get a hold there. They're punting from their 30. You may have the ball at the 30 or 40. You're still only down one. And that's why, you know, when you talk about the biggest plays of the game, obviously the McCaffrey drop that turned into an interception was huge. But the reason I don't think that was the biggest play was because at that time they were down two scores and it was late. But the Kenneth Walker third and 17 that ended up in a first down, and then they got three out of it, that was tough to come back from if you're San Francisco. I can't imagine how deflated they must have been after that third and 17.
But John Lynch looked like he wanted to strap the helmet back on and get back on the field.
And I think that's one of these. I think that's one of those plays where, here's what's easy to say. Well, if they had Bosa or Warner, they probably wouldn't have gotten 19 yards. That's true. But I also think, even had they, if you have Warner out there and Bosa, maybe you react differently to them getting it, and you can still keep them off the board. But that defense is so young and unproven and what's held together by tape. You know, it just was too much for them. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but the defense still made some plays.
They did.
I mean, I know they had the backbreaker on third and 17, but they got two sacks. I mean, for this Niners team, that's a whole hell of a lot. I want to say they had 10% of their sacks in that football game of the season. That first sack on first and goal from the 1 yard line, that's a major stand. Seattle's walking right down the field. They get the PI in the end zone. They don't run it on first down, and Sam Iam takes a terrible sack, and you're sitting there like, all right, the defense came to play. They're obviously going to bend, but they didn't. I don't think they broke all but that one play, Steiny, and so nobody was able to make enough plays on the Niners' sidelines. Meanwhile, Seattle, it just felt like every time they had to get something, they did enough to win that football game.
And I also thought, you know, when you drive and don't get scores, usually it comes back to bite you. But all it did in this game, I mean, look, there are three drives. There was a goal line stand by the Niners, two missed field goals by the Seattle. And I'm thinking to myself, even during those drives, they chewed up a ton of time. And by doing that, they put a lot. I felt like it was one of those games where every time the Niners had the ball, you were wondering if they could move it. And that hasn't been the case for them this year. You always felt like they were going to be able to move the football a little bit.
At halftime, because I texted the thread this, did you feel like the Niners were going to steal that game?
I thought there was a chance, absolutely.
Because I thought it was trending in that direction.
I felt like in some way, and I can't put my finger on it, it was starting to resemble some of the games they have won this year. I feel like in a lot of the games they won, Barrows had that stat late in the season. No team has had more field goals missed against them than the Niners. I feel like looking at their team over they've gotten a lot of fourth down stops. I think their defense has made some big plays. Offense has made some timely plays. But they weren't there this game. They've always made enough plays during the regular season to win the game, but they couldn't make any plays against Seattle, even though Seattle gave them a half dozen opportunities to either make a play or drive the football after they gave it up.
It just felt like it took them 50 minutes to get going in the football game. And then that crowd at Levi's Stadium was as quiet as I've heard it in a long time. And I walked down to the second level just to get a feel for it. And like you could hear conversations. People were they're waiting for something to happen. Yeah, you could hear crickets. Thank you, Kenny. But the moment that they started to drive, that final, I think it was their longest drive of the game. They had like eight plays. Brock had a couple dimes on that drive. Jennings on the sideline to put him in the red zone, where he layered it over the linebacker right in front of the corner. It was a great throw. You could feel the crowd starting to get into it. And I'll be damned. Like if they were going to get in on that drive, before McCaffrey dropped that football, I thought for sure the Niners are going to score a touchdown. And at that point, you put all the pressure on Seattle because Seattle, they outplayed them the entire game. There's no doubt about it. But they didn't have the points to show for it. And that's what it was one of the most deflating plays in recent memory for the Niners because it was at home. The crowd was starting to get loud. And it was loud before the game. I mean, it was deafening. But that point, that turning point, God, it just sucked all the air out of the building.
It did, and it still was, you know, relatively early. They still had 10 and a half minutes left in the third quarter. But that's the other thing. Like, so now Seattle's got the ball at their own three, though. And this is kind of what I mean about how you respond. You know, Seattle makes that big play, and then they hold the ball for 6 minutes, and it's over.
Yeah, but that was another back-breaking play, though. Like, and the defense no already been out there for 35 minutes.
No doubt. Absolutely. I'm not saying they should have, but I just felt like, you know, I wouldn't say that was an opportunity, but, you know, once again, they had, you know, they put the game away is what they ended up doing on that. So, no, I'm not saying blaming the defense for giving up a drive after the interception. I'm just saying, you know, under different circumstances, maybe you're healthy, maybe you're more whole, that your defense can get a hold there and turn the pressure right back on. But they were also, you know, they're outmanned. They're overmatched defensively. I think that was pretty obvious. They just didn't have enough frontline players.
Well, on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't run it themselves. I think that was the biggest issue that I had with the offense is they couldn't run the football. And when Kyle Shanahan can't run the ball, Christian McCaffrey, I thought their best running back in that game might have been, at least on the ground, Brian Robinson. You know, but he's the guy who had somewhat of a little bit of juice. He's the battering ram. And you couldn't even put anything together with that. It was like they're just running into a wall every single play. And part of that is Trent Williams not being out there. Part of that is the fact that Seattle has one of the best defensive lines in football. But it was like Brock Purdy, every time he dropped back, had to do something amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I mean, hell, Seattle was so buttoned up on defense. The one time the Niners dialed up the double reverse razzle-dazzle, it went for 5 yards. Like, their most imaginative, creative play of the game went for 5 yards. And they still kicked the field goal on that drive.
888-957-9570 is the number. All right, let's get into it. 49ers are going to Philly as a wild card team. They lose 13-3 against Seattle, and it was a game where, you know, we talk, I just find it interesting that they're having a great year, but we do talk about some of the things they struggle with, and everything we said during the year that we were either worried about or they needed to get better at, it just showed up. Their offensive and defensive lines, whether it's injury or not, they cost them. They cost them on both sides. On Saturday, lack of receivers hurt him, no doubt about it. Their ground game, which hasn't been gaining the average yards per attempt it has, was back to where it always was, but they couldn't extend any series. They'd been great on third down this year. They weren't great on Saturday, so it all kind of fell apart for them, and now they got a week to figure out how they beat Philadelphia and Philly. Let's go to Giovanni in Richmond. What's up, Giovanni? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you guys are doing?
Doing well.
Good, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm a big fan of the show. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
It's just my whole motto is, I think we just got to forget about that game on Saturday. They got to come up with the best game plan to beat Philly, and I have no idea what to do. I wanted to see what's your guys' thoughts. What do you think is the game plan to beat Philly?
I mean, the problem is a lot of people say Philly's not dissimilar from Seattle, at least defensively.
Yeah, I don't think they're as good as Seattle, but their defense is absolutely one of the best. You know, but this is the thing about Philly too, and to bring it back to the game, because that's really, I think, what everybody's still feeling here on a Monday, Gio, is Seattle left the door open. And that is what Philly does. The Eagles all season long have played tight games. They've done enough to limp to 11 wins, and maybe they're conserving energy for the postseason. I don't know. But Seattle had blow-up potential in that game, and they have blown out, I think, the most teams in the NFL. I mean, that's why they have the best scoring differential in the league, and it's not even close. But that was a game that was still in, I don't want to say control, but it was within the Niners' grasp. Again, they're marching down the field after being dormant for like 50 minutes of the game. But they still had hope. And that's, I guess, what would give me hope if I'm a Niners fan is, like, you kind of got dog walked on Saturday. I mean, you look at the difference in yardage. It was, I think, 200. You didn't have the ball. They had the ball. You didn't keep drives going. They had third down conversions galore. And you still had a chance to win that football game.
And you know what else they needed in that game? And it could have come at any time, but for them to win that game, they needed to get a turnover. Seattle didn't turn the ball over. So so in other words, Seattle's owning time of possession, and not one time during the game can you just change it with a snap of a finger. And they've been doing that a lot this year too, they've gotten timely stops and timely turnovers. And that's where I got to give Seattle a lot of credit. What do you do when you're on the road? You don't turn it over. You try to run the ball. You try to, win the possession game. And they did it all. They just didn't score as many points as they should have, or you would expect them to score with all the numbers they compiled. Adam is in San Jose. Let's talk about Brock Purdy. Hey, Adam. How you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you guys?
Doing well.
Yo.
On draft night, one of the analysts were, for when Brock Purdy was drafted, one of the analysts were talking about how one of the concerns for Brock Purdy coming out of college was that he holds on to the ball too long. And we see that translate here in the NFL. When he drops back, it seems like he's holding on to the ball for way too long. You feel that pocket getting smaller and smaller and eventually collapsing. He's looking for the deep shot. He needs to be able to read the defense quicker, get the ball out in the flat, check it down or scramble or do something. But I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on that, because it felt like on Sunday there were a lot of the reasons why they weren't on the field for too long was because Purdy couldn't decide on what he wanted to do soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of, I mean, you got to try to buy yourself some time. I don't know if the quick hitters weren't there like they have been, but for whatever reason, McCaffrey didn't catch his normal amount of passes 7 yards downfield for a chance to get 15 total yards. He didn't have a lot of time, Brock Purdy. He was trying to manufacture stuff.
Well, and you brought it up earlier. How many times can you remember the Niners catching a ball and running? Like, how many times can you remember catching a ball in space and yards after catch? There was one, and I think it was the Kittle pass over the middle, yeah, in the second half, and that last drive that obviously resulted in the McCaffrey bobble into the interception. That's the only one that really comes to mind. There may have been a couple, but I mean, that's why Seattle is, if they're not one, they're two. You know, it's them and Houston to me in this league. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the two games that the Niners offense has looked the most inept has been against those two teams. That's what they do. You know, I thought, and we were at Laughing Monk Brewing before the game, Lorenzo Neal and I, and had a great time. We were talking about every single week we set a point bar for the Niners of what they need to score in order to win the football game. On Sunday Night Football against the Bears, we said it was 30. They got to score 30 in order to win that game. Turned out they had to score 40 to win that football game. Against the Seattle Seahawks, you got to get at least two touchdowns. You have to score in the 17, and I would say 20 range, honestly, to beat that football team, which is what you would have had to score had they made their two field goals. And this offense just could not do it. I mean, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the Seahawks, but Steiny, I mean, was there anything that left you feeling like Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan left something on the table on Saturday?
Not really. I think they just ran out of ammunition on both sides. I'm not sitting here saying I knew the Seattle Seahawks would win. In fact, I was talking to a buddy before the game, and he told me the Niners were, what, 1.5-point underdogs? Something like that?
It ended up being 2.5. I mean, there's okay. A lot of money on the Seahawks.
I mean, game. I didn't bet it, but I was like, how do you, what do you like? And he was like, I like Seattle. And I'm like, I like the Niners. But anyway, what I'm getting at is I knew the Niners were in trouble. I'm being serious here. With how much time late in the first quarter, when a player named Wallow committed a face mask penalty.
Well, they picked him up a couple weeks ago.
But that's my point. I'm looking like
49.
the names that you were hearing on Saturday were the 49ers second level players. They just were.
But that's been their defense the whole...
I understand.
Every time you see Luke Gifford make a play on defense, you're like, who is Luke Gifford?
But that's what got him. Like, Seattle was just too good.
It's taken us a year to learn Sam Okawanu's name, and he was on the team last year.
I'm just saying. Yes. So how can you... Like, when you hear all those foreign and strange names that you haven't heard, you can only conclude that they're missing their top line players. So why would you expect them to be, I mean, they gave up 13 points. They're not going to play any better than that. That defense will give up more than 13 points to Philadelphia. I know it's the easiest thing to say in the world.
Not if they miss two field goals.
But that's kind of what I mean. I mean, these second line players, to their own credit, gave you a chance to win the game, even if Seattle gave them a lot of help. Sandy is in Philadelphia. Sandy.
Oh boy.
Is in Philadelphia. What's
it's
up?
Sammy,
what's up?
Yeah, same
it's
old.
Sammy, come on, man. You gotta get that right. Anyway, guys, I have to say, I've been listening to your station for years. I go back with Bonte and Chasky, but listening to you guys, you might think the ship has sailed. I mean, I'm not a Niner, I'm an Eagles fan, but man, okay, so you lost the game. But everything's just still in your lap. You're hosting the Super Bowl. Now you got to come through us, and we got a history with you. You got, you're missing a lot of players, but you only ran McCaffrey 8 times on Saturday. And you know what? They threw the ball when they should have ran it. And they, you know, I mean, look, I can't talk either. My team should have played the starters. You know, I don't think there's one clear cut, but you know, you put your money on Sam Darnold. He is going to fail at some point, right?
But
they have a stacked defense, but
Sammy,
are you really afraid of Sam Darnold in the end?
No, but Sammy, the difference.
I am afraid of the Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, though.
Sammy, here's why it was such a gut punch, is because they were one win away from not playing any road games, not leaving the Bay Area. To now, they got to win probably 3 road games to get to the Super Bowl, and we know it's a team that's really, really banged up. I mean, the job got infinitely harder with that loss. And 49er fans are smart enough to understand that. And by Friday or Saturday, we'll think, okay, can we go into Philly and win that game? Well, why not, really? And if they don't win it, we'll find out why not. But I give them a chance in Philly, absolutely. All right, 888-957-9570. We're talking about the Seattle game on Saturday, 13-3. Seattle wins, and they are the number one seed, so they do not have to play any road games. Tune in for Warriors Live today. Don't get me started on the Warriors, presented by Xfinity. Your home court advantage brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.